Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first episode of the 3-Peat Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Mondo, and today we're going to be talking about honoring the greats. As many of you know, you've been watching the NBA. Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade, they both announced their retirement. Dwayne Wade at the end of the season, Dirk announced his retirement at the last Dallas Mavericks home game. And they both did a lot for the game of basketball. You know, Dwayne Wade, he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest shooting guards in the sport. You know, all Dallas bias aside, because you know how much we all love the Mavericks and Dirk, and we despise Dwayne Wade. He's really cemented himself in history, you know. 13-time All-Star, 3-time NBA champ. 2008-2009 scoring title, 3 times All-Defense, 8 times All-NBA, and the 2005-2006 Finals MVP. You know, so he's done a lot for the sport, and he's also, I didn't know this, he's actually, he leads All-NBA shooting guards in blocks. So, you know, not surprising seeing as how he's made the All-NBA defensive team 3 times. And then we move on to, you know, our hometown hero, Dirk. 14-time All-Star, 12 times All-NBA, 06-07 MVP, 2011 champ, and the 2011 Finals MVP. Now, he hasn't, comparing a little bit, doesn't have the All-Defense, of course. Never been a great defender, never just been a horrible offensive liability. But what Dirk contributed to the game is what we see today in all the stretch fours and fives. There were players that did it before Dirk, but they weren't anywhere near as efficient and as dangerous as Dirk was. You know, now we have Porzingis, Joel Embiid can stretch the floor. A majority of centers in the NBA right now have some kind of three-point shooting in their repertoire of moves. Brooke Lopez for the Bucks, Nikola Mirotic. There's a lot of them. And because of Dirk, they've had to implement that into their game. You can't be a 4 or a 5 and not be able to shoot anymore because you have to stretch the floor in today's NBA. And a lot of that is due to what Dirk's done for the game. And you know, we just want to. You know, we just want to pay them their dues, pay respects to them and everything they've done for the sport and for their communities as well. And then now we're going to talk about the playoffs. The Brooklyn and Philly game. You know, I wasn't really surprised that Brooklyn won. Ben Simmons has to do something about that jumper, man. It's 2019, and the fact that he can't hit anything outside of maybe 7 to 9 feet from the basket, that's a problem. It's horrible watching those games and seeing how the defense literally just gives him the three-point line and crowds everybody else. He really needs to work on that. Brooklyn, I'm not surprised. They had some injuries earlier in the season that didn't really give them the seeding that they wanted. They should have been a higher-seeded team. But the Caris LeVert injury, which, you know, thankfully wasn't anything super serious. He came back. He missed, I believe it was 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere around there. Spencer Dinwiddie got injured, too. He missed a good amount of time. D'Angelo Russell's been playing very well for them. Jared Allen defensively. They just have really good rotational pieces, along with the 3 players I just named. I'm not that surprised that they won. Early prediction, I think they're going to take the series. That's what I think. Now, you might disagree with me. I understand just because Philly, just on paper, you know, they have Embiid, Simmons, Harris, and Butler. Butler balled his ass off. I'm sure he probably let into everybody after that game. And the Philly fans, y'all are horrible. Y'all are really gonna boo them just because they're losing and they're missing shots. that's really funny to me. I think Philly has probably the worst fan base in all of sports, but we'll talk about that another time. Then the Orlando game against the Toronto Raptors. I don't know what to say. Me stumbling on my words right now was my reaction as I was watching the game. I didn't see it coming at all. Just, I mean, Orlando, let's see. Aaron Gordon is probably, no, Nikola Vucevic is probably their best player, and then Aaron Gordon. DJ Augustine, he's a journeyman point guard. He's not horrible. He's never been great. Evan Fournier, he's a pretty decent shooting guard. Not the best defensive, and he can be streaky, but they pulled out a win, and I couldn't believe it. Kyle Lowry played horrible. 0 points in, what was it, like, I think around 30 minutes. Had a couple assists, couple rebounds. But he was pretty much a non-factor that game, and I don't know. I guess it's, most of it is his shot selection. He likes to shoot a lot of threes, even when they're not going in. I don't know why he does that. He had a size and weight advantage over Augustine. Could have worked something in the paint. I'm not sure. I don't know. That was Nick Nurse needs to find something to do with Lowry, because that's unacceptable in the playoffs. But props to Orlando. They played really good defense. I was watching them. Their rotations were great. They moved the ball a lot. And they got this win, and their best players weren't really playing that well. Like I said, DJ Augustine led them with 25 points. I think Aaron Gordon and Fournier, they only had, I'm trying to think. They had about, let me pull it up real quick. But yeah, they didn't even play that good, and they ended up winning by 3. Now, it's a small margin, but I mean, the fact that they won, they pulled that off. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Let's see. Points. Yeah, Aaron Gordon had 10 points. Vucevic had 11. Fournier had 16. Let's see. Terrence Ross had 10. Michael Carter-Williams had 10. I mean, Toronto's really going to have a hard time if any of those other three players get it going. Because Aaron Gordon's not just going to sit at 10 points. Vucevic is not just going to sit at 11 points. And Fournier, when he gets it going, he can light it up for 20 to 30 points. So, Toronto, I don't know what they need to do. I don't know who they need to start. Personally, I take Kyle Lowry at the start lineup. I think a lot of NBA coaches are scared to do things like that for players that have been around or that have a name made for themselves. But like I said, this is the playoffs. Raptors had one of the best records in the East. Make an adjustment. I like Kyle Lowry, but historically he's never really done great in the playoffs. So I don't know, maybe put Van Vliet or Powell, start one of them. And I mean, hell, you have Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin, granted, he's not great, but he's smart. He makes good decisions. He's not a total defensive liability. You need to try something soon before this gets out of hand, because Toronto, y'all could very, very easily lose this series. And y'all have had a history of blowing it, so some adjustment needs to be made pretty quickly. We're not really going to talk about the Bucks because they blew out Detroit. Everyone kind of saw that coming. Blake Griffin was out. A report came out he's probably going to miss the entire series. They did what they were supposed to do. They demolished Detroit. Let's see. Boston, they got a tough win against the Pacers. I wasn't really expecting the Pacers to win this series. Maybe steal a game or two, but without Oladipo, it's just they don't have that go-to star player that can get it done on both ends. Sabonis is really good, but like I said, both ends of the floor, they don't have that one guy that they can give the ball to, and that's, you know, that of course that hurts them. I think Boston caught a break catching the Pacers in the first round without Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart, he's really undervalued. he can do everything. He hustles, plays defense. He can score if you need him to. I don't know how much longer he's going to stay in Boston. I think he's due for a payday. I'd like to see him somewhere else just to see what else he can do, because I don't think people realize how important he is to that franchise. Let's see. Boston. Let's see. Oh, OKC lost by 5 to the Blazers. You know, as much people, a lot of people like to hate on Westbrook, especially that whole is he underrated thing, which I think is total bullshit. I don't see how anybody can average a triple-double for 3 seasons and be overrated. We'll visit that another time. Speaking about the game, they lost by 5 points while shooting 15.2% from the 3-point line. That's horrible. You can't really do anything bad. I mean, you can't do anything about a bad shooting night, but the fact that they only lost by 5 shooting 15% from the 3-point line, I think they'll be okay. Westbrook shot, like I said, he did have a triple-double, and he shot 47% from the field. He didn't make any threes, but that's not his forte in the first place. So he did his part. Cantor had a big game. He almost had a 20-20 game. That was a really big pickup for Portland in the first place. And then with the horrible Nurkic injury, it was very timely. Like I said, let me see. Hold on. I'm going to check something really quick. Yeah, Portland, they got a little lucky. Because, let's see, Schroeder shot 29% from the floor, Jeremy Grant 25%, and playoff P, Paul George shot 33%. Yeah, they're not going to shoot that bad. And I think, I don't know, if Billy Donovan's not a total dipshit, I think he's going to give Nerlens Noel a little bit more playing time. I think he'll bother Cantor a little bit more. Cantor does well against bigs that are maybe not as vertically inclined. Nerlens Noel will definitely annoy him. So maybe they switch that up a little bit or play big ball with them. I don't think that would be a bad idea. But yeah, I'm not worried for OKC. I think they're going to be okay. I still think they're going to win the series. I think it'll be close. I think the series goes to 7. Let's see. Golden State handled their business. Clippers were annoying, hung around for a little bit. They could steal a game or two, but I see this being over in probably 4 or 5. They have a scrappy team, but once again, they don't have that one star they can go to. The closest thing they have to that is Lou Williams, amazing player. But he himself is not enough for Golden State. And as usual, they turned it up. Playoff started and everyone. Curry went off, had a crazy good game. So, like I said, they don't stand a chance. That's going to be over relatively quick. Then we have the Nuggets and Spurs. Now, I will say I'm not surprised the Spurs won. I think I was just disappointed in the Nuggets. And if you go back and look, Jamal Murray took a majority of the shots. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but when they're not, you know, you have one of the best centers in the NBA, Nikola Jokic. I'm a huge fan of him, his play style. He passes the ball. I've never, ever, ever seen a center that can pass like him. That dude's amazing. He only got 10 shots. He's one of your best players. He can score. He needs to get more shots. Jamal Murray, I love him. He's really talented, both ends of the court. Can light it up. But, yeah, we got to get those shots spread around. I personally want the Nuggets to win, but I wouldn't be mad if the Spurs won. I can't call this one yet. You can't count out the Spurs because of Pop. Got the greatest coach in NBA history. You can't really count him out, you know. Houston surprised me a little bit. I thought it was going to be a closer game. But, you know, maybe we've been wrong, and maybe this is the year that Houston steps up and takes out Golden State. I don't know. They played really well against Utah. Man, if they continue to play like that, I give this to them in four. But like I said, we'll have to watch game two for that one. They just played really well. Harden does what Harden does. Chris Paul, everyone healthy. And the Kenneth Reed pickup, it just worked out really well for them. Capella's a great center, but he kind of stays. He'll do his pick and roll, and then he'll stay on the block where he's supposed to get rebounds. Fareed is very, very mobile. He's all over the place, setting screens, snatching up boards, hustles, always, you know, dives and cuts to the basket. Real high energy player, and I think he's one of the big factors for Houston, and also, you know, Chris Paul's health. I hope he stays healthy, because I would like to see, as much as I love seeing Golden State do what they do, it'd be nice to see someone else get in there and do something else. And then for you hockey fans, the Dallas Stars are going to play the Nashville Predators today. That's going to be later on tonight. I don't know anything about hockey. Anyone wants to help me learn and teach me ins and outs a little bit, cool. All I know is I like to watch it sometimes because they beat the shit out of each other. It's always fun to watch. But I don't actually know anything about the sport. Willing to learn. Someone wants to teach me, hit me up. That'd be great. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about today? Oh, we have to give Tiger Woods his props on winning the Masters. You know, a lot of people, including myself, had written him off and like, he'll maybe do okay, but he's kind of done. He came back and he ended up winning. This was his first major win since 2009. That's 10 years ago. You know, he's really been through a lot with all the scandals he was involved in, cheating, getting caught cheating and losing all his endorsements and everything, and then coming back after all these years at his age, I believe he's 43, to come back and against all odds when everyone had written him off. That's great, man, and, you know, golf is better for it. There are a lot of younger dudes who have big names, but nobody today in golf has the same draw or effect that Tiger Woods has. So having him back playing at this level, this is, you know, it's great for the sport. Once again, I'm not a huge golf fan, but I definitely will watch some Tiger. Watch Jordan Spieth sometimes, you know, all the Dallas people. But no, it's great that he got his win and came back. And hope to see more from him coming forward. It's great, you know, because I remember as a kid, didn't know anything about golf, didn't care about it, but I would always, me and my dad, we'd sit and watch some Tiger Woods. We'd watch him play some golf. So having him come back and play at that high level, it's, you know, it's truly amazing. Props to him. Congratulations to him on the win. And like I said, I hope we see more coming from him in the future. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a great one.